the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We got news, entertainment, interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
Welcome to the Full Spectrum for Monday, July 2nd. On today's show, Malico Records at 50. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. Malico Records is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and joining us now on the phone is Daryl Luster, who's with Malico Records. He's the director of the Four Winds label there. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to speak to you and your audience.
Oh, it's our pleasure, of course. So talk to us about this. It's not a date you're celebrating. You're celebrating for a month or a year, right?
Actually, yes, that's correct. The Malico this year makes 50 years that Malico Records has been in existence.
And talk to us about this milestone. What are you guys feeling like there? Because I'm sure you're looking back and looking ahead. But what's the feeling there?
Well, the feeling is that we're grateful to still be here, number one. you know, and as you probably know, a lot of the record companies that are maybe 50 years old, you can go there and it's a museum, or it's something that you walk through and see, you know, where they used to record. However, we're still in existence every day, and that's why I say we're grateful. And, you know, God has blessed us to be able to acquire other, you know, smaller labels, and some labels are quite huge. And so we have one of the, you know, largest catalogs in the business. So we're grateful.
And how long have you been with the company?
Well, I did my first session here in 1984. So even though I wasn't physically in the building each and every day, you know, I've been working with them.
Sorry, hold on one second. And the reason I asked that, Daryl, is because I wanted to ask you, what's your most vivid memory?
Probably my most vivid memory was coming here for the first time, because I grew up on Malico, and not even knowing, you know, who they were. You know, I was one of those kids that read the back of albums, you know, and just tried to picture who Tommy Couch was and who was Wolf Stevenson and who was Frank Williams, and, you know, and listening to all of that great, you know, not only gospel music, but, you know, Dorothy Moore with Misty Blue and Johnny Taylor and all of that good stuff coming out of here, and saying, man, if I could ever get down there to see what's coming out of those walls, I would be, you know, in heaven. And so I got that opportunity in 1984 to come here. Not only did I just come here to visit, but I ended up doing a session at the same time. So, you know, I could have gone to heaven that day. And I would have been just fine.
you mentioned a couple of names, Tommy Crouch Senior. There's a Tommy Crouch Senior and Junior, and Wolf Stevenson.
Absolutely.
And I think that they were at Ole Miss, right, when they conceived the possibilities of a Malico Records.
Yeah, that started. You're absolutely right. Thanks for doing your homework. Wolf and Tommy were both fraternity, you know, brothers at Ole Miss. And Tommy started booking bands, for fraternity parties and things up there. And so that's how that started. And as they went on to do that, they felt like it may be a good idea to maybe start a studio to where they could have demos done to, you know, to enhance trying to get these guys, you know, booked. And that just turned into, you know, Malico Studios, and then they started doing records and, you know, Mr. Big Stuff. And
yeah,
you know,
I got a couple of records. I want to play one of these records for you, and I want you to tell me about the significance of this record to Malico Records. Here
okay.
we go.
All right.
Oh, sucky, sucky man. Hey! Come on, baby. Hey, that sugar dumpling. Let me tell you something. Girl, I've been trying to say now. You look so sweet. You're so doggone fine. Just can't get you out of my mind. You become a sweet taste in my mouth now. And I want you to be my spouse, so that we can live happily now. In a great big old roomy house, I know you're gonna prove it, baby.
So Daryl, talk to me about that record.
Well, I would hate to rain on your parade, but it sounds very much like King Floyd doing Groove Me.
It is.
However, it sounds like a remake. I'm not so sure.
All right. Well, it is King Floyd, and it may be a remake, but the original, tell me about it.
The original, right here in Malico Studio, King Floyd, and was one of the artists here as well. And so, but that song has gotten so much mileage, and I mean, like in TV commercials, like you wouldn't believe. And that's another thing that, you know, because of the vast catalog that we're off into now, that, you know, when people are looking for songs for their movies, for their commercials, for their sitcoms, you know, they kind of lean in this direction because we have a lot of, you know, a huge catalog. And so that song is still getting mileage today.
And I think that was one of the first big hits recorded there. Talk to me about, at the beginning, was it basically a recording studio?
Yes, it absolutely was. And what began happening is that, you know, just like today, if you got a studio, artists start to come in and want to use the studio. And so it graduates from there as to, maybe we want to be a company, you know. For whatever reason, you know, we may have made some deals with some of the producers to where we, you know, share in the ownership of the masters. And so we may try to start shopping the projects. And I'm sure I overheard them say, when so-and-so didn't take it, you know, I won't call maybe that record company, but when they were shopping the labels, they didn't take it. So they said, well, hey, we know it's a hit. Let's put it out ourselves. And, you know, the rest is history.
Right, because I think that, if I read correctly, sold around 2 million copies, if not more.
Absolutely.
And so when you put out a record like that, especially when you're just starting out, talk to me about the role that plays in not only being a confidence booster, but serving as a basis for growth.
Say the last part again, please.
As serving as a basis for growth.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me about when you put out a record like that, okay, and and it's one of your early hits. Talk to me about the role that played in helping you guys to grow.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah, if you have a hit back in that day, I mean, that just opened up doors for you. It not only opened up doors for you as a record company, but it opens up doors for you because of a studio, because a lot of times when you use a house band, then people are sitting in New York or people are sitting in Los Angeles or wherever they are and saying, you know, just like I did as a kid, you know, apparently they got something going on down there. You know, they got a staff band that is putting out hits. So maybe we want to go down there and do our next record. And that happened as well because, you know. Yeah,
and when you're just starting out, so how did you get people in New York to hear Groove Me?
When you have a hit song, everybody hears it. And so it's like, you know, you know, back in the day, you'd send it off to, you know, New Orleans, you send it off to Atlanta, you know, New York City, and if it hits and they catch the miracle, then everybody catches it, you know, and then mm-hmm. they kind of do their research and say, you know, where did it come from?
Well, so even
did it come from, you know, Muscle Shoals? Did it come from Jackson, Mississippi? Where did it come from? And that's how that works.
Right, and so even if all the cities didn't start playing it at once it starts picking up steam, then they all start playing it.
Absolutely, a domino effect. That's correct.
That's great. Here's another song that you mentioned. Let's listen to this one.
All right.
I still hear people playing this song at parties.
Well, thank you for continuing to play it. Same situation. I remember hearing that song when I was in North Carolina. I was born and raised in North Carolina. And probably in 1972. I remember hearing that song when I was a little boy. And that song was so hot. Not knowing that it was recorded here in Jackson, Mississippi, at Malico Studio.
Nor was I aware. I grew up in Chicago, but I did not know this song was recorded in Mississippi until very recently. But I'm telling you, this song, it has a lot of history with it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, this is one of the songs they remember.
Yeah, and it's done, and if you know it and remember it in 1972, then, you know, we probably in the same boat age-wise.
Right.
But yeah, that song as well, just like Groove Me, has got a lot of mileage in movies, in television commercials, in a lot of different places. And so it's, you know, we've gotten a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one more song that I want to play for you. And this song is from a different era, the disco era, but it is a huge song. And to me, it's still kind of an unexpected hit, but a huge hit. Here we go. Daryl, how
yes,
did
sir.
This song come about?
Ask that question again.
How did this song come about?
You know what? Frederick Knight is the writer of that song, and a good friend of ours and a very good friend of the company's. Ring my bell. Now, I'm going to go and stab again and say that that's not...
No, this definitely is a remix. It's hard to find you guys' stuff,
that's by the way,
your original stuff. And this I know is a remake because it doesn't ring my bell the way the original did.
But is that Fern? Fern Kinney?
I think that's Anita Ward.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it is. So, but yeah, another big song. But a lot of this stuff again was just studio stuff. Came out to be studio stuff. It wasn't like, you know, the company. It was like studio stuff. They came over here, did this, and, you know, and then but they were coming because we had this sound over here, and they were looking for it.
So explain what that means to the listeners. When you say studio stuff, what do you mean?
You have a studio, and I need to record a project, and I come over there and rent the studio and do it because, you know, I like what you guys are putting down. You know, I like that little foursome that you have, maybe the bass player, the drummer, the keyboard player. Y'all doing some great arrangements over there. Like to come over there. And that's how Malico got kicked off.
So if I want to use you as my studio, that means I'm basically going to use your musicians and your arrangers as well.
Right, because that's how it was back in the day that, you know, like take for instance, you know, people wanted to go to Fame studio because they had a staff up there that was putting out hits. Or they wanted to go to Muscle Shoals because they had a staff up there that were putting out hits. Aretha Franklin came to, you know, to Muscle Shoals because they had the magic down there. So that's how it worked back in the day, you know.
And how does it work now, mostly?
It mainly works now that it doesn't do a whole lot of work in any way at all. But the way that it works now is that people hardly ever see the studio anywhere. Everybody's got a studio in their basement, in their back room, you know, in their car, you know, in a hotel room. You know, that's how it is. And they're delivering projects. I remember when it was a big thing to sign an artist and bring them into the company so they could see the studio, see the building, and see who's going to be working their record, and not so much anymore, you know, because everybody's doing things long distance, which, you know, which is a good thing for us that we're having the gospel music celebration and bringing in everybody, kind of like a homecoming, and they're coming to, you know, help us, you know, celebrate 50 years, you know, and that, you know, that's just a good thing, you know.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Daryl Luster from Malico Records. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Miguel Sanon.
I'm Nora Jones.
My name is Pedrito Martinez.
I'm Christian McBride with Jazz Night in America. Our show is bringing you inside the jazz world. We're headed to concerts around the country, from New York to L.A. to D.C., and we're talking directly to musicians, finding out how and why they do what they do. Join me right here for Jazz Night in America.
Catch Jazz Night in America Thursday at 6 p.m., Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on Cool and Current, WJSU.
Hey, I'm jazz keyboardist Marcus Johnson. Saturdays from 5 to 7 p.m., join me for Catch the Flow. Each week, I present a cosmopolitan mix of chill, lounge, Brazilian, and jazz. You can travel this lifestyle journey in great music where I share personal experiences in the jazz world and just what I do. Catch jazz, catch Latin, and catch soul. You can catch the flow with me, Marcus Johnson, on 88.5.
Welcome back to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current, WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with Daryl Luster, who's with Malico Records, as they celebrate their 50th anniversary. Daryl, you were telling us about an upcoming gospel celebration.
Yeah, well, you know, to bring it up to date, in 1975, Malico started the gospel division of the record company, and with the Jackson Southerners, the Williams Brothers Soul, Sarahs and Nightingales, Mississippi Mass Choir, Dorothy Norwood, and so many others. We also acquired, you know, Savoy Records, which was probably one of the largest gospel record companies in the world at that time, and Atlanta International. So all of these record companies represent the Malico Music Group. And so for all of these years, we've been putting out great gospel music, and this being the 50th year, we wanted to do a celebration. And people from all over the country, Fred Hammond, Tina Campbell, Ernest Pugh, Harvey Watkins Jr., the Mississippi Mass Choir, artists from everywhere are coming in to tribute us. You know, the interesting part is that generally you'll have an artist that will come in and they'll sing their songs, but they're going to come in and tribute us and sing our songs, or they're going to sing a song. Yeah, and, you know, you got, like, Fred Hammond will come in and maybe tribute, you know, the Williams Brothers, or you know, Tina Campbell will come in and tribute maybe the Caravans or something like that. And so it's going to be a great night. It's going to be a historic night. And you don't want to miss this, because a lot of times we sit back and we'll say, I'll catch it when the movie comes out. But this is going to be a historic event. This is going to be something that you definitely want to be part of. You want to be there in the room that the night that this happens.
Okay, and we'll talk about the details in a few minutes. But I wanted to ask you, when you guys decided to branch out into the gospel music, did it feel like a natural fit? Do you think they kind of went back and forth about whether they should do it?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they went back and forth because, you know, gospel in that time was not mainstream. It was a big thing for traditional gospel music, you know, traveling on the road. And it was also a big thing even on radio because, you know, it brought us through the civil rights and everything. So it was a big thing. However, it was not mainstream. You didn't see traditional gospel music. You hardly saw any gospel on the Grammy Awards, which was, you know, one of the few things that we had back in those days. We didn't have 24-hour gospel radio. And so I'm sure it was a hard thing, you know, to say, well, maybe we'll try it, you know. But I'm sure as we look back that it was the right thing to do.
Right, you've got a couple of greatest hits albums, gospel music. How have they done?
Wonderful. I mean, we have artists that we currently have that probably don't sell as much as some of the old stuff that we have, like the James Cleveland, Tribute to the King. We still sell that. Willie Neil Johnson, the gospel keynotes, we still sell that. That's on in every order, you know. You don't go through a day without selling Willie Banks and the Messenger, the Jackson Southern Airs, the Williams Brothers, the Sensational Nightingale, the Pilgrim Jubilees. That old music, it speaks to the soul.
What are the biggest changes you've seen in the music business? We kind of talked about how music's recorded, and a lot of it now is done long distance. Mm-hmm. But and we know in particular that a lot of sales now are done online, that maybe downloads are probably the biggest way that music is sold. So for you guys there at Malico, what are the biggest changes that you've seen?
The biggest change in music, in the music business for us, is probably, number one, the places that used to sell gospel music don't exist anymore, you know. So even if you talk about right here in Jackson, Mississippi, there's no more bebop. I'm sure they sold quite a few records for it. But no record shops on every corner like there used to be. That's one of the biggest changes. And so now, as you stated, music has gone from actual physical sales of CDs and, you know, cassettes and albums to streaming online with something like Spotify and, you know, all of the digital formats like iTunes where you buy music and Apple Music and all of that. So it has gone from physical sales to that. So it is streaming and digital sales. Now, at the same time, when you talk about the groups that I just named, you know, the older groups, they appeal to an older audience. So when you talk about, you know, grandma, when she wants the Pilgrim Jubilees because she broke her album, you know, she doesn't want to download it.
Right.
And she doesn't know how to stream it either. So, because she doesn't get on the computer because she's scared something's going to happen to her if she do. So she wants the physical CD. And, you know, and so we still sell a lot of that music from our warehouse.
Let me ask you, because the other thing I read a lot is that even more than ever, it probably was all this, it was this way a little bit, but the records or videos were really to promote the touring. But I hear it's that's really where a lot of artists make their money now is touring. Is it that way with some of your artists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing is to make music. You know, if you get as much airplay as you can to, you know, to become somewhat popular in those neighborhoods or those areas so you can go do a concert, hopefully have a few hundred people, sell product because you have become your Walmart, you know, do a great job, get paid, and sell product. And so you go back home happy because that's not a new way. It's always been that way. But we also had other ways of selling music back
right.
in the day. Now we kind of only have that.
Before we run out of time, I want you to let everybody know the details about the concert and where they can get tickets.
Yeah. July the 12th at Thalia Maher Hall in Jackson, Mississippi. The doors open at 6 p.m. and the taping starts, because I didn't say that we're actually going to be filming for this as well. We'll start at 7 o'clock. You want to be there, and I will say this, that, we were asked, because Malico is an international company, we've done well all over the world and could have done this anywhere. In fact, we were asked to come to Atlanta, to go to Atlanta and do it, where we probably could have saved a whole lot of money because all of the equipment that we're having to bring in was already there. But it was never an option. We felt like that Jackson, Mississippi was home to Malico Records, and we feel like that it's Jackson, Mississippi's record company. So why not come and share this with the community and the state of Mississippi and give them an opportunity to share with us in the celebration? So I cordially invite all of you under the sound of my voice to come and join us. July the 12th, Thalia Maher Hall, Jackson, Mississippi, Malico 50th Gospel Celebration.
You know, it's interesting you said that you guys have that historical trail marker in front of the original studio there. I think it's on North Side, right?
That's correct. And tickets are available at Ticketmaster, or you can just come by, do the country thing. Come by and knock on the door, and we'll send you some right here. Yeah, we're not high tech at all. If Ticketmaster bothers you, come on. Or you can go by the Thalia Maher Hall as well. But if you don't have a problem trying to find a parking place, come on by Malico. We're always open, 8:30 to 5:30.
Quite a salesman there, Daryl. And tell us again some of the artists that are going to be performing that night.
Fred Hammond, Byron Cage. It's going to be hosted by Dr. Bobby Jones and Dorinda Clark Cole of the Clark Sisters. Bishop Paul Morton, it's just going to be a great night. Pastor Tim Rogers, LaShawn Pace, Luther Barnes, Ann Nesby, Milton
and
Bigham.
Nesby, wow.
It's just going to be a great, like I said, historic, not just a concert, but this is something that you'll never forget. You can always say, and that you got the T-shirt, because we will have T-shirts now. I got the T-shirt, and I was actually there.
What are you guys filming for?
We're filming because for people that can't get it, and it may be some things.
So later on you might do a DVD?
Of course.
Okay.
And it may be a Netflix thing. We haven't figured the whole thing out. We're just so excited right now that we figure we better go ahead and get it done always. So we'll see what we'll do in the future.
Wow.
But that don't mean don't come, because you're going to wait on the DVD. Be there. I'm telling you, we'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one.
Daryl Luster with Malico Records, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm sure that a lot of folks are going to be turning out for that concert.
Thank you so much for the time, Dwayne. I appreciate it.
All righty there. Well, that's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on Jackson State TV. You can catch their live stream. I want to say that it's been a pleasure having you here today, and I want you to have a great evening.